You know, on Friday, my son Will told me that at school they had their they had a pep rally. It was his very first pep rally ever. I can't believe I have a high schooler. I feel quite old just even telling you that. But you know, when I was in school, I come from a small town where pep rallies were a big deal. And I don't know what pep rallies were like for you, but we had the marching band, we had cheerleaders, we had a captain of some team that was leading in some rah-rah cheer to get us motivated, to get us excited. They'd oftentimes teach us a cheer or two that we could do at the game that weekend or that night so we could do it together. But it was an exciting time when we would rally around this one big event. And I kind of feel like today is a little bit like a pep rally for missions. It's kind of hard to avoid the theme of missions today if you've been around the church. It's very intentional. And I'm excited about today because it's an opportunity for us to bring our focus back to something that is so important to us as a congregation, and that is evangelism and missions. You know, when our missions team came together a few months ago and we thought about what do we want the theme of this day to be, we came up with, where will your feet, Ninth and Go? And the idea of that is that, you know, for the last 18 months to 2 years, things have not really been normal at all. And in a lot of ways, we've not been able to do the things that we typically do as a missions ministry. But things are getting a little bit back to normal. And our thought is, you know, sometimes when you get used to not doing something, it's hard to start doing it again. And today it's kind of a rallying call to say, today is the day to get back to doing the things that we feel God is leading us to do in the area of missions. And so I hope that you are ready to respond to however the Lord is calling you to get back on your feet, and where will your feet Ninth and Go? Two words that we don't normally associate with one another, and that is beauty and feet. Right? Beauty and feet. When you think about what is your best feature, I'm guessing that you normally wouldn't say your feet. I've had some people today that were a little concerned when they saw the theme was where your feet will Ninth and Go, that we were going to take our shoes off in the worship service. And people were going to see our feet today. If that's a concern of yours, rest assured, I'm not asking anybody to take your shoes, your socks, your sandals off today. We do not want to see your ugly feet. Because let's be honest, most of the time, we have ugly feet. But I have a question I want to pose to you this morning. And that question is what makes our feet beautiful to God? What makes your feet beautiful to God? And the reason I bring this question to you is because we're going to be in Romans chapter 10 today. And specifically in verse 15, there's a verse where the Apostle Paul, he poses a question. It's actually not even his question. He rips off the Old Testament, has some good material in the Old Testament from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. And the question that he poses is, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the good news? And why is he quoting the Old Testament? Why would he do that? Why isn't he just coming up with his own material? Because what he wants us to see is that what Isaiah wrote about way back in the day, back in the Old Testament, what he's doing is he's trying to tie that to what he is writing to the churches in Rome in the New Testament to say what Isaiah was looking forward to. When he referred to the good news, he was referring to Jesus Christ. So that's what Paul is doing here. He wants us to see that Jesus is the good news that we take. And to answer this question, what makes our feet beautiful to God? Here is the answer. Here's the answer. Our feet are, the beauty of our feet is measured in the mercy we show as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what I'd like to present to you today, this idea that the beauty of your feet, it is measured in the mercy that you show to others as you share the good news. And let us be honest, if we were to all take our shoes off right now, okay? I know that you're still maybe a little afraid I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm really not going to. But some of our feet are pretty disgusting. Some of you have some really nasty toes in this room. I know that to be true because I know you. Some of you have some really gnarly, like, pinky toes, right? They're oddly shaped. You've just had a rough life, right? Some of you have like those alien feet. Do any of you have like the second toes longer than the big toe? Very strange. I know of at least one of you in our church that has that. You probably know who I'm talking about. So, you know, sometimes our feet just aren't that beautiful. You know, we've got corns, we've got warts. Some of you might be missing digits. You know, all of those things could be true. Your feet could be that jacked up, yet they could look beautiful to our Lord and Savior. And that's what I want us to see this morning. We're going to be parachuting down into the book of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 10, looking at verses 8 through 15. And where we land in this text is that the Apostle Paul is in the middle of this section, this three-chapter section, where he's asking this question. It's like, why are the people of God, why are the Jewish people not placing their faith in Jesus? That's the question he's asking. In his commentary on the book of Romans, John Stott puts it this way. He says, how in the world could the privileged people of God have failed to recognize their Messiah? Since the gospel has been promised beforehand in the Holy Scripture, why do they not embrace it? I mean, wouldn't we naturally think that they would be the Jewish people, if anybody, that would have their eyes open and ready to receive Jesus? And the Apostle Paul, he's concerned. He's worried. Why have my people, why have my tribe, why have my kin rejected the Savior? And the reason that he presents is because they have become accustomed to putting their faith in the Old Testament law. They have become accustomed to believing that the law could save them. And Paul, he makes this argument to tell them that no, just as we sung a few minutes ago, it's in Christ alone. So open up your Bibles if you haven't already and turn to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to actually read starting in verse 5. And I want to read through verse 10. I'm going to give us a little bit more context. Verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law. That is, the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not let your heart say, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Verse 8, but what does it say? Well, it says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I want us to see just four truths this morning from these verses. These are four truths that, I hate to disappoint you, but nothing new here. There's no new material here. All I've got for you today is old material, but sometimes it's the old material is the best material. It's what we need to be reminded of. You know, this is the 16th year that I can remember doing a Mission Sunday. We used to do them on Sunday night, now we do them on Sunday morning, and when you've been doing something for that long, it's hard to come up with new material, but what we see today is that there are some truths that we all need to be reminded of, and I think God wants to use in our hearts today. The first truth that we see is our feet deliver a message of faith alone. Our feet, they deliver a message of faith alone. When we go through the doors of opportunity, you see these doors behind me, you're kind of wondering what's going on back here. Someone in the first service said, I got him into the worship center and I thought you were going to talk about Monsters, Inc. Anybody ever seen the movie Monsters, Inc.? Nope, that's not what this is all about at all. This is about different opportunities. God opens up doors all the time for us, right? And some of those opportunities look different. And I know as I look across this group, we got a different group of people in here. You all are distinct. You've all got different giftings. You've all got different talents, different personalities. And I believe that if we are faithful to pray to God and ask God, help me to see eyes, help me to have the eyes to see the doors before me of where I can share the good news, whether it's around the dining room table or whether it's on a mission trip to Uganda, wherever it might be, I believe that God is faithful to open up these doors. But when we walk through those doors, whether it's this one or that one, we go sharing a message of faith in Christ alone. Notice in verse 8 what it says. It says, what does it say? When he says, what does it, he was referring to the Old Testament law, the words of Moses. And he's actually quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Here again, the Apostle Paul, again and again, is going to go back to the Old Testament. He wants to tie his words to the Old Testament. He wants to tie Jesus to these messianic passages. And in this passage in Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking to the people of God, and he's sharing with them about their future. And Moses, and what Paul does, he ties Moses' words to Christ, where he repeats Moses, where he says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And then Paul adds on to there, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. What is the word of faith that we proclaim? It's that old Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is the word that we proclaim. He is the word incarnate, as John tells us in chapter 1 of his gospel. It is Jesus that we place our faith in for salvation. And then verse 9 and 10, we have these verses that if you've been in church at all, if this is your first time in church, you've probably never heard verses 9 and 10. But if you've been in church at any time at all, you've probably heard these verses. And let me read them to you again. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Those are beautiful words. Let's just pause for a moment. How blessed are we to have those words? There are literally millions of people that have never heard those words. They don't know that they exist. They don't know the message they contain. Those are saving words. Sometimes we become so familiar with these verses that we forget their beauty. So we thank the Apostle Paul for the Lord to give Paul these words to remind us that faith is marked by inward belief and an outward confession. You know, Jesus tells us in chapter 6 of Luke that what proceeds from the mouth is that which fills the heart, right? Maybe you've talked about something today that you're passionate about. You can't help yourself, right? Because it's what fills your heart. And if you're excited about something, if you believe in something, you can't stop but talk about it, right? And this is what Paul is saying here, that if you believe it, it's going to come out. And Paul's point here is simple and it's clear and it's worth repeating that salvation is in faith alone. And let's just say, be honest, the Jews struggle with that. Sometimes we struggle with that. And we would be foolish to think that we don't fall into that same trap at times to say that, hey, you know, we want Jesus, but we think we need to do something more than that. But Paul is saying, no, this is how good of a God you have. I'm going to give you something that you don't deserve. I'm going to sacrifice my son for you. You know, last Sunday, we had the very first inaugural class for Take the Step. It's our new evangelism training. There's another one going to be offered in December. And verse 9 here is actually one of the key verses that you'll learn when you go through that training. But when you take our Take the Step evangelism training, this is what you're going to hear. You're going to hear that salvation is in Christ alone. We're not going to say to be a good Christian, you've got to be Baptist. Maybe as badly as we want to say that. No, you don't have to be Baptist to be a good Christian. You don't have to have theological training. You don't have to even serve. None of these things are necessary for salvation. Are they a fruit of things that will come because of our faith in Christ, that we want to serve, that we want to be a part of a church? Yes, but ultimately what saves is Christ alone. A second truth I want us to see from this text today is that our feet deliver a message that is for all people. Our feet deliver a message that is for all people. And let me just say, we live in a very fragmented world right now. Nobody can get on the same page with anybody, right? Yet in Jesus, all people, in one sense, are the same because the gospel is for all people. Let me read verses 11 through 13. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, if you're reading this and you're a Jewish person, you're kind of taken aback. You're kind of like, no, I'm a Jew. I want to be set apart. I am special. And it's not to say that the Apostle Paul would look at a group of people and wouldn't be able to delineate who were the Jewish people and who were the Greeks or the Gentiles. But what Paul is saying here is that all humanity is without distinction and that all people possess access to the throne of God. That's what he is saying here. And just as there's no distinction between us because in Adam we are all sinners, we're all part of the fall. We've all been included in that race. The same is true that in Christ, we are all the same because we all have access to Jesus to be justified before a holy God. Everyone means everyone. And when you think of us as a church, you know, we can't be like Jonah where we can kind of take the gospel over here, but not over there. You know, I really don't like those people, you know, but I really like these people. Let's go over there. That's not how it works. Now, the reality is we can't go everywhere as a church, but we're willing to go everywhere. We're willing to go wherever God might lead us to go. And we need to remember the words of Paul in 1 Timothy, where he tells us that it is God's desire to see all men saved. So when it comes to us planning our mission trips, as we sit around as a missions team, or even as our staff has input on the places that we go, we're willing to go wherever God calls us to, because we believe all people are made in the image of our Lord and Savior. All people have value, and all are deserving to hear the good news of Jesus. There's a word in this text I want to pull out for just a moment, though, that word call. Why does Paul use that? Why do we need to call on the name of the Lord? Why doesn't he just say believe? Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, I want us to take note that he, again, is trying to tie the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Old Testament messianic passages to the New Testament in his writings. And he's actually quoting from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 32. We also know that in the Psalms, if you read through the Psalms, a number of occasions, you'll hear this, you'll read this expression, those who called upon the name of the Lord. So when he does this, he again is quoting the psalmist. Even Peter at Pentecost, when he is out, he's preaching at Pentecost, it says that many called upon the name of the Lord and were saved. And this idea of being called, it evokes something, doesn't it? It evokes kind of an emotion, this idea of a desperation, of a neediness. And God, he desires our devotion. He wants us to cry out to him. And I think this is why the Apostle Paul uses this idea of we need to call. So we take the gospel to all people. We take the gospel to all people that says faith alone is how you'll be saved. Third truth I want us to see is that our feet deliver a message that is intended to be proclaimed. Our feet deliver a message that is intended to be proclaimed. You know, so many times we read scripture and we're kind of like, man, I really wish God would lay out step by step of what he wants me to do, right? Well, we actually get a step-by-step instruction here in Romans chapter 10. Because he kind of starts backwards, but he begins with call. That people can't call upon the name of the Lord unless they believe. Well, they can't believe unless they've heard. We obviously can't hear something unless it's proclaimed. And you can't proclaim something unless you've been sent to go and proclaim it, right? So God provides all that is needed here. We have a good God. He's not throwing any punches. He's not trying to trick us. You know, so many times in life, people communicate something and then they change their mind. You ever had a boss do that to you? Very frustrating. We have a boss in heaven that never changes the rules. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you were saved yesterday, you're saved today. He never changes. He is always faithful to his word. But notice what it says in verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they've not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? You know, you look at this text and, you know, it sounds elementary to say, but if you have a message to deliver, you actually have to deliver that message, okay? Imagine a world in which UPS, every day in the city, would load up their trucks full of boxes, things to deliver to your home, and they would run their routes and then they would return that day, but they would never have actually delivered any of those boxes. Wouldn't that be very frustrating? The UPS wouldn't be in business very long, would it? The point is that God has given us a message. He's given us a message to proclaim. Wherever you are, do you know you're right where God wants you to be? You're right where God wants you to be. We have a message to deliver. It would be foolish to go about our business and not deliver that message. So we are to be about sharing the good news. And I understand that there are barriers to sharing the gospel. I know there are things that keep us from wanting to say a good word for Jesus. Maybe we're afraid of what they're going to think. Maybe we don't know how to transition into those conversations. Maybe that the gospel, it just sounds like foolishness and we think they could never believe. But when we say those things to ourselves, what we're doing is we're underestimating the power of the gospel. We're underestimating the power of the gospel and we are believing Satan's lies that no one cares. Because you know what? Every person is made in the image of God. Romans 1 tells us that we will suppress the truth. We will deny the truth because we don't want to give up our lives over to God. But every human knows that there is a higher being, that there is a God. And what we have been called to do is not to be successful in sharing the gospel and that people come to faith. We are to be faithful, that we share the good news. We allow the Spirit to do the work and to bring about a harvest. So we are called to proclaim the good news. A number of years ago, I was preaching out of Acts 10. There's a passage there where Peter visits Cornelius. Maybe you're familiar with that passage. If you go back and read it, and you read it later today, you'll see that the Spirit visits Peter. And you remember, Peter has these visions, right? And you'll also see in that text that with Cornelius, that an angel visits Cornelius. So we see God there with Peter. We see God and the Holy Spirit and an angel there with Cornelius. When I was preaching that text, I wondered to myself, why doesn't the angel just share the gospel? Save Peter the trip. from having to go down and talk to Cornelius. But in God's sovereignty, he has decided to use us. He has decided to use verbal proclamation of the good news to save people. So we're called to do those things. You know, one of the diagnostic questions that our missions teams will ask when we put together mission trips is, are we going to have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ? You know, we want to go and do good things. We want to go and do construction. We want to go and play with the children. We want to go and do medical care. All these things, those are great, but ultimately, are we going to be able to do that which is of most importance, to proclaim the message of Christ? It's what we need to do. We had been waiting for almost an entire year, but Friday night, we were able to go to the Dude Perfect tour concert. Unbelievable. We had a great time. But the best part of the night with being there with Dude Perfect was at the end of the evening. Tyler, he's the one with the beard. That's how you remember him. He came out and said, you know what? We came out. We've entertained you for a couple hours. We hope you had a great time. But at the end of the day, this is of no value. There's no value in the entertainment of trick shots and telling jokes, all the stuff. It's meaningless. But what's really important, what's eternal, is Jesus Christ. And he just took a few minutes and he shared the gospel, shared his own personal story. Very powerful. But the point is that we adhere to what Tyler was doing the other night. There's a lot of good things we can do, but at the end of the day, we need to be a people that are proclaiming the message of Christ in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Last point I want us to see from this text is that our feet are to deliver a message because we are sent missionaries. We deliver a message because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be sent out. Verse 15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You know, I think that for some of us, as we read scripture and as we look at the sovereignty of God, we might think to ourselves, does God really even need us? Does he need us? In his sovereignty, in his power, can he just save people? I mean, why does he even decide to use weak vessels like you and me to go out and to share the good news? We don't always know why God does what he does, but he has given us the joyous privilege to be a part of what he's doing, to be his ambassadors. He has chosen to use us. You know, technology has made a lot of advances in recent years. This summer, I was visiting family in St. Louis, and I was driving through my brother's neighborhood, and I saw one of those Roomba lawnmowers. Have you guys seen those before? They just mow your lawn, and you just hit a button. Hello. Who doesn't want that? I don't know. It probably costs $10,000. I don't even know what it costs, maybe more, but I'm going to get one in about 20 years when I can afford it. But, you know, technology has come a long way. And in a class that I teach at Boyce College, personal evangelism, last semester, a student brought up, hey, do we really need to go on mission trips? Do we really need to be sent out when with technology, the internet's pretty much everywhere? Is that a good question? I didn't think so. I let him know I didn't think that was a very good question at all. Because even though technology might be everywhere, if we've not saturated the world with the written word, I doubt that we're going to be doing it with the internet anytime soon. But at the end of the day, even if technology could reach the ends of the earth, I believe God still wants us to be a going people, a sent people. And we should count it as a joy that God wants to use us. And this is why we got Dawson here in the back of the room. Dawson helps with mission trips on the missions team. It's been a very frustrating 2 years, hasn't it, Dawson? We've planned a lot. We've had a lot fall through. And it seems like every time we make plans, something happens. Is he frustrated? Do I get frustrated? Yes. But you know what? We're committed to continuing to try to do mission trips, to take the gospel, because it's what God has called us to do. Well, at this time, I'm going to ask five of my friends to come up on stage. And we don't typically do this in the sermon portion of a service. But, you know, we've got some great opportunities for you to get involved in missions, to be praying for missions, to give to missions, to go and to tell others about missions. And I've asked them to come up and just share with you a word about different ways that you can plug in. Most of these folks, after the service, you can go and visit them at the tables in the back. But I'd like for them to come and just share some things about what we have going on here at the church. I'm gonna go ahead and let them introduce themselves, but Harrison, go forth, bud.
Yeah, I apologize for my tardiness. My name is Harrison Megas. I am a student at Southern Seminary, but I have the privilege of being a member here at 9th and O. And my partner in crime, Ben Nguyen, is not up here with me today. He's back at home in Atlanta. But we have the privilege of doing the apartment ministry across the street, working title. We're calling it Across the Street. But anyway, so we're just looking to serve our neighbors over at the Avery apartment complex, directly across the street from the church. Our church has done an awesome job with Global Mission for, I can't even tell you how long now. But we really wanted to attempt to fill the gap with local mission. So during the time of COVID, our pastor, Philip Brand, that's over the Singles and College Ministry, started reaching out to a group of boys that are in high school and were playing basketball in his front yard. And just meeting with them, having meals with them, and just allowing them to play in the driveway. And he felt like the Lord was calling him to continue to reach that group of people in the apartment complex. So with tons of prayer and consideration, myself and my friend Ben Nguyen decided to move in and just continue to minister to the people across the street. So that happened, I guess, in mid-June. And since then, we have had four or five different events just looking to reach the people in our community, get to know our neighbors well and love them, and just build strong, intentional relationships with them. So we've seen a lot of fruit from it. We've gotten to know a lot of our neighbors and are still continuing to get to know them. So Blake will mention here in a minute what had happened this week, because I love how Blake told the story in the first, in the first service. But we're just so happy that the Lord is just continuing to give us opportunities to share with people the gospel, and just in praying for more opportunities. I guess one way that you guys could get involved right away is October 30th. We're actually having a trunk or treat across the street in the parking lot at the Avery Complex, and we're looking for volunteers for people to just open their trunks and bring treats and continue to get to know our neighbors. And just be kind to them and hopefully have some gospel conversations. So, thank you.
Yeah, let me just say a word about that. First of all, you know, Philip Brown, this was his vision to get this started. So I want to give props to him for doing so. But he called me on Friday night and said, Blake, I got some good news. And he said that one of the boys that had been playing basketball over at his house for some time, a 17-year-old boy who goes to Southern High School, prayed to receive Christ. And, you know, that's an answer to prayer. And that is a big win. And that's exactly why we're doing the apartment ministry. Liz?
My name's Liz Howell. And my husband and I have gone to 9th and O for about 16 years now, a little bit more. And I'm up here to talk about how you can go give through the Great Commission offering. The Great Commission offering is our church's biggest push towards giving in to missions. And it kicks off in December and ends on Easter Sunday. And it's our way of giving to things that are important to missions that are important to Southern Baptists, but also to our church. And some of those things are like the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong Easter offering that goes to international missions and to that North American Mission Board. And then we also have some of it going towards our mission scholarships for some of the trips. I know that many of you desire to be on the mission field, but maybe finances are a little bit difficult. We have the opportunity to help supplement some of those trips for you guys. And then there's also the Love the Ville project that is important to our church, how we serve our community on one day in the summer. And so some of the money goes towards those opportunities. Then we also have several people that are several organizations or missions that that are important to our church that we give through the Great Commission offering. And this year's big number or goal this year is $106,000. That is an important number. 106 is how many years our church has been a church, I guess. And so this year our goal is $106,000. So give big this year, guys, and give to missions.
Thank you, Liz.
My name is Ethan Hinkson. I've been a member here for about 7 months, and I am on the missions team working with the Take the Step class, a new class that we're offering, and I think Blake probably mentioned it earlier. We just want to equip you to share the gospel. We've talked about it a lot this Sunday. I'm sure you've talked about it a lot of times over the past several years that you've been attending here. And it's easy, I think, if you're anything like me, it's easy to get really fired up on Sundays like this, hearing about our beautiful feet, and I want my feet to be beautiful, and I want to tell others about Christ and how much he means to me and how much I love him and he loves me. But a lot of times we go into, our workplaces, our schools, our dinner tables, and we think we just fizzle out. We don't know exactly how to start the conversation. We don't know exactly the words to say, or, sometimes we just haven't thought about how to articulate our faith to other people. So we, in the Take the Step class, Dawson and I, we want to equip you guys to do that. We want to give you tools to be able to articulate the gospel clearly and understandably to people, equip you with Bible verses that are very pointed and can help you explain, and then also to encourage you. Jesus did not send us out as sheep to be slaughtered. He sent us out as more than conquerors through him who loved us. He sent us out as spirit-filled people under his authority. So we want to encourage you in sharing the gospel and help you to do that. So registration is open. Our next training will be in December sometime, and it's just one Sunday. It's just one BFG hour. So please sign up for that, and we'd love to equip you to go out and have beautiful feet.
My name is Lindsay, and I'm over rope holding teams here. This is a new ministry that we have that we're really excited to establish and get rolling. At its core, there are support groups for missionary families that 9th and O has sent. So right now we have three teams. We have more missionaries that have gone out, but so Lord willing, that number of our teams will grow. But we're just starting out with three. We have one team for the Bisabas, who are in Uganda, one for the Sils in Ecuador, and then one for the Pickwick family, who will be leaving next month, right? Pretty soon. So registration is already open for all of those teams, and our expectations for team members as an overarching kind of expectation is that they will commit to their team for at least 1 year. Every 3 to 4 years, they'll consider going to visit their missionary wherever they are. And then within the day-to-day, we have four expectations. The first is to pray for them. They'll be on a group chat with team members, so you'll be able to hear firsthand updates of prayer requests and things that they need. The second hope for team members is that they would advocate for them within the church and tell them, like, hey, the Bisabas are talking to these people right now, and they need prayer for this, or, whatever the situation might be. And then the third thing is that the team members would care for them however they need. It could be something like helping them to provide gifts for their children's birthday. It could just be spiritual encouragement. It could be financial aid. It could look very different, but just like holding the rope for them and, loving them well in that. And then the last thing that we hope for the team members is that they will be the first responders, so to speak, when the missionaries are on furlough. So when they're stateside, to be the first people who are like, hey, do you have a ride from the airport? Or just whatever they need. So if you have any questions, I would love to talk with you. I'm at the table in the back on the right. So that'd be great.
Thank you, Lindsay. My name's Dawson. I'm probably most known at 9th and O for the 9th and Ghost logo that I hounded Blake for years, perhaps even decades at this point, to make a reality. And of course, the year that 9th and Go is the thing, the very next year we're unable to go on trips because of the pandemic. And so we are still riding, where will your feet, 9th and Go? Because it's such a good slogan, guys. Right, Blake? And so next year, go ahead with the cards that are in front of you. You've got one for the 2022 mission trips. All right, we're not going to do 2022 mission trips. That's just the year. But on there, we are planning on doing 5 mission trips. And let me say this. Typically, in years past, pre-pandemic, we had a pipeline and kind of a game plan for mission trips. We'd be able to go on a trip, do the trip, talk to the trip leader, the missionary partner that we're working with, about what we could do next year, how we could come back and improve and help them more, or find a new area to minister with them at. And unfortunately, without having trips occurring, We've kind of lost that ground. And also just the difficulties of international travel for our international trips, it's a little bit more difficult process than it's been in years past. And on a normal mission Sunday, we'd be able to get up here and tell you dates and trip leaders and all of this kind of stuff, but we're rebuilding that pipeline. So it might be another month or two before we have those things firmed up with our missionary partners. So right now, what's in your hands are the five trips that we expect to go on. Pray that these come together and that these happen. But those five trips, we're going to go to Storyline twice. You probably remember a couple of months ago, Blake had us up here and he prayed for the team that was going to Storyline back in August. We had to cancel that trip at the last minute. We had just crazy things. Somebody had COVID. Somebody else had something else going on. The team just broke down as we were going to try to serve them, and it wasn't able to happen. It was terrible. It was unfortunate, but it didn't surprise God. And so what we're trying to do with Storyline next year is make it up to them and go twice. I mean, they're right only 4 hours away. Let's do it two times this year. So that is that's two of the trips that we're planning, actually. We're also planning, you've heard the Basabas name mentioned already, to go see the Basabas in Uganda. And so that'll be a really great trip to go and serve them and serve along SOS Ministries there. We also would love to get to the Sills in Ecuador and continue the work that we've had with Pastor Felix at Tombo and the Pastoral Training Center there. And so that's one of the trips that we're planning to do in fall of next year. And the last trip that we'd love to go on next year would be to serve in Ethiopia with Five Loaves. There's a lot of people in our church that are connected to Five Loaves. There's a lot of great ministry we've done there in the past. And so we want to go back and serve in Ethiopia again. So be prayerful about what trip God might be calling you to go on. Pray for us as we're trying to figure out trip leaders and trip logistics. But most of all, pray where your feet will Ninth and go. Thank you, Blake.
All right, thank you, guys. You can be seated. Let me conclude with just a short story before we, Pastor Craig or somebody in the worship ministry comes up and closes us out. I want to tell you a story about Evelyn Granny Brand. You may not have heard of Granny before. It's a neat story. It's a story I read in Christianity Today. Granny grew up in England at the beginning of the 20th century. She came from a wealthy family. She had a background in actually medicine. She went to school and learned some things about medicine. It ended up paying off well because when she married her husband, Jess, at the age of 33, she moved to the mountains of South India to try to reach the mountains people for Jesus Christ. Well, while they were there, they had two children. They actually sent those children back to England for education not long after when they were young. In fact, Jess and Granny didn't see their kids very often. And that's just the life that the Lord had called them to. Well, a number of years after they were there, Jess got sick with malaria and ended up passing away. The kids begged Granny to come off the mission field, and she said, "No, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving until somebody comes and takes my place." And no one ever came. So she stayed there. Well, in her 70s, she fell, broke her hip. And when that happened, her son, Paul Brand, came to visit her. Paul is actually quite famous himself. He was a renowned hand surgeon. He's got a number of books if you want to look him up. But Paul said something to his mom that I don't think any son could probably get away with. In general, he said, "Mom, you look so old." He said, "Mom, ministry has worn you out." He says, "I've never seen wrinkles on a face so deep." Okay? I can only imagine how that conversation went with Granny, but here's what she responded with. She said, "Son, I'm not leaving until somebody takes my place. If that's not you, you can just go on because I'm staying here." And the second thing she did is she removed every mirror from her home. And it said until the age of 95, she never owned a mirror again. Because she didn't care what she looked like. She only cared about the ministry that she was doing. Well, at the age of 95, she did pass away. And as the story goes, there were people from literally hundreds of villages from the mountains of South India that came to her funeral to celebrate what God had done through her and in her life. Granny was not a very beautiful woman by human standards. There's other pictures of her online. This is actually the flattering one. She was not the most beautiful person in the world. Her face was leathery and wrinkled. I can only imagine that her feet were as well. But let me just tell you this. Even though as we look at her feet, they may have been disgusting and gnarly, but to God, her feet were beautiful because she had spent her life taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that otherwise would have never have heard. So I close with this, ninth and O. Let's make our feet beautiful. Let's make our feet beautiful by taking the message. And it may be in your home. It may be to your next door neighbor. It may be on a mission trip. It doesn't have to be something spectacular. But what we are called to be is faithful to what God wants us to do. And I believe if we are faithful, if we are praying, that we will have the eyes to see the doors of opportunity that he places in front of us. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this church. I thank you that for 106 years we have been committed to the gospel, committed to going. God, I pray our passion to do so would increase. Lord, I pray that for the people in this room, there are some that today you're moving in their hearts. I pray this wouldn't just be another Mission Sunday, another Sunday where they hear things but it doesn't touch their heart. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be touched. Lord, Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem and he wept over their unbelief. Lord, I pray that we would look at the world and Lord, we would feel like Jesus. We would weep and we would see that there's an urgency. We know that two people every second on this earth pass away. Lord, help us to know that every second matters. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.